Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are worthy of worship and praise. Lord, today we will not boast in anything except for our Lord Jesus Christ. We boast in you, Lord. I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to be true worshipers today. Help us to surrender ourselves to you and your leadership and to serve you with our whole heart. Strengthen Joel as he brings your word to us today. Strengthen the choir as they lead us in song. Strengthen the congregation as they lift up their voices in praise to you. Lord, help us to praise and exalt and glorify you, the King of heaven, the King of the universe. We love you and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that today? Let's stand as we sing praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. It's hymn number 210.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who
Glad you're here, part of our 10:30 traditional worship. All the guests today, if you'll take a guest card right in front of you in the pew or on the far right-hand side inside your bulletin, you'll find a QR code, and you can hit that with your phone, and it'll give you a digital version of the physical copy that's right in front of you. Either way, it doesn't matter to us. We'd appreciate you doing that. Take a few moments. Welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today. Good to have you.
Great are you, Lord.
Now let's prepare to receive our morning offering. You can remain seated on the first three stanzas of It Is Well With My Soul, and we'll stand on the last, and our ushers will come at that time, and we'll receive our morning offering. As we give this morning, we think about more than just giving our tithes and our offerings and from what God has blessed us with, but we give of our heart and our soul. We give of our time, our tithes, and our talents. We give to the Lord because He's blessed us so much. He is worthy of our gratitude as we thank Him for all that He's done. He is worthy of our praise because we can pour out our praise for who He is, and He deserves all the glory today. Let's give of ourselves and our whole hearts to Him. The Bible says, for whatever we do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. For whatever we do, do it with our whole heart, as unto the Lord and not unto men. So I encourage you today to give of yourself unto the Lord. You will not regret it. Let's worship together as we sing, It Is Well With My Soul. It's hymn number 705.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for making it well with our soul. Thank you, Lord, that you considered our selfless estate and that you came and you redeemed us and you paid the price for our sin and we can bear it no more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, too, for the opportunity to participate in the furtherance of your kingdom with this offering. We just ask that you bless and multiply in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
right, I know that y'all get really tired of me saying, that's one of my favorites. But y'all, that's one of my favorites. You're just going to have to get tired of that, because that is one of my all-time favorite choir specials, No More Night. Thank you, choir, for leading us into the Word. Until there is no more night, then we need help. How do we navigate life? So we're going to have a little help today from a character named Matthew. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. And this is our second character in our study of we're doing a study of just some of the great characters of Scripture, some of the great characters in the Old Testament and New Testament. Last week we looked at Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, and we talked about obedience from that character. Today we're going to look at Matthew and his call. Jesus is calling him to be one of his disciples. So this is Matthew the tax collector. And so let's read about Matthew in Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. So Jesus said to him, "Follow me and be my disciple." It is amazing to me what happens next. So Jesus sees Matthew sitting in a tax collector's booth, gouging his own people. And then Jesus says, "Stop what you're doing, drop everything, and come and follow me." And he did it. Is that not amazing to you? That he just did it. He dropped everything that he was doing, he dropped everything that he had, and he got up and he followed Jesus. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many of other tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, "All right, why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people need a doctor." And then he added, "Now learn the meaning of this scripture." So Jesus then quotes Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. "I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices." So God was saying to his people, "I am so much more concerned about you showing love and forgiveness and graciousness than you offering all of the sacrifices in worship. You've got your focus all on the wrong thing. You can't see the forest for the trees. You're missing what is most important, primary, for that which is secondary." So that's what God said to his people. And Jesus then was repeating that to these Pharisees. "I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." So we all have a lot in common with Matthew. The reason we have so much in common with Matthew is because, like Matthew, we've all messed up in life. All of us. It doesn't matter. We've all fallen short of God's glory. So the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans, tells the church at Rome, we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of God's glory. We talk about this all of the time at First Baptist Church. Our terrible, sinful tendency is to compare and contrast ourselves with other human beings. When we compare and contrast ourselves with other human beings, we always know of people who are much worse than we are, and so we make ourselves look really, really, really good. But when we compare ourselves, as the Apostle Paul wants us to do, to the perfect righteous standard that God gives to us in His Son, this is what you compare yourself to. When we compare ourselves to the perfect righteous standard, which is Jesus, then we're all in the same boat, every one of us. We're all the same. We are all sinners in desperate need of a Savior. So Matthew was a good son gone bad. When Matthew was growing up, in the community that he grew up in, nobody would have been able to predict how far he would fall, how bad he would be. This, one of our own children that we've helped raise in this community, comes from a decent family. He's one of us. He's Jewish. No one could have predicted that he would have fallen that far. That now he would be the sellout of all sellouts. That he would be gouging us, his people, all so that he could have the $2.5 million home on the lake and drive the $150,000 vehicle, just so that he could make it up the social ladder and have all of the things that the material world would love. All for that, he sold us to the government. He sold his soul to the devil. No one would have ever been able to predict at that point when he was a little boy that he would fall so far down. Now, in our story for today, by the time Matthew makes it to being a tax collector, by the time he makes it to this point, no one could have ever dreamed that he would rise so high. Y'all, there's even our children, all right? In both worship services, I would dare say that there's probably not one person in early worship or in this worship service that doesn't know the name Matthew. Not because you grew up with a Matthew or Matthew lives down the street, but the Matthew that we have in Scripture. Almost everybody knows that name. So in the first century, when Matthew was sitting at his tax collector's booth, if you would have told somebody that he would rise so high that in 2,000 years from now, everybody will know his name, and it'll be a good name. Nobody could have predicted that he would fall so low, and nobody could have predicted that he would have risen so high. Only Jesus knew. Because we know the story of Matthew from this side of it, we've missed out. We only have a taste, a little bit, of all of the embarrassment and the failure, selling his soul to the Roman government. Trust me when I say his life was filled with sin. And Jesus choosing Matthew to be a part of his group was a shock not only to Matthew, but it was a shock to everybody. Who wouldn't be surprised that Jesus comes along with the worst sinner that is in our community, and Jesus says, hey, I want you to come and follow me. You be a part of my group. Max Lucado says about Matthew, the surprise in this invitation is the one invited, a tax collector. Combine the greed of an embezzling executive with the presumption of a hokey television evangelist. Throw in the audacity of an ambulance-chasing lawyer and the cowardice of a drive-by sniper. Stir in a pinch of a pimp's morality and finish it all off with a drug peddler's code of ethics. And what do you have? A first century tax collector. Yeah. All right, so we in 21st century America, we do not have the equivalent of a first century tax collector. So we have a very difficult time getting the frame of reference. What that actually looked like. What the people thought of tax collectors. So if you've studied any scripture at all, if let's say you've studied Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so you've studied the gospel accounts in Sunday school and in discipleship classes and in your own devotion time, then one of the things that you realize as you study Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, that it's very clear and that it's very evident that if you were to walk around in the first century to any community, Ephesus, Corinth, it doesn't matter. Walk around any community in the first century and just simply do a poll and just ask questions. If you were to tell us who is the worst among the worst, tell us the worst sinners that you could possibly think of, then studying Scripture helps us to realize that almost everybody would say the same thing. Tax collectors and prostitutes. They are the worst of the worst. If you could point out who are the worst people in the community, the ones that you hate the most, who is it that you really just despise? And just from our study of the gospel narratives, we realize that tax collectors and prostitutes topped that list. So what Lucado is doing there is he is trying to help us, even though we don't have that first century tax collector equivalent in our culture, he's trying to help us to realize kind of how we would feel about somebody. An embezzler, Bernie Madoff. A televangelist, I said this morning in the early worship, that's the worst one on the list. The worst one on the list is the preacher. A lawyer, a sniper, a murderer, a pimp, a drug lord. So he's trying, Lucado is trying to get us to just kind of feel that feeling of, yeah, those are the worst of our of the worst. Those are the people that we would say that's the scum of the 21st century American culture. And that's a bad list all wrapped up in one person. The point is simple. First century Jews hated, and when I say hated, I do mean they hated the tax collectors, especially the tax collectors that were Jewish. The ones, these are our own people. We raised this young man. We raised him. We educated him. And he turns on us so that he can have the things that none of us can have because we keep having to pay taxes to him. He's a sellout of all sellouts, legally robbing his own people blind. This is legal extortion, and there's nothing that you and I can do about it. Nothing we could do about it. So Caesar would allow these tax collectors to set up shop wherever they wanted. And he would allow these tax collectors to tax anything they wanted to tax. Whatever they wanted to tax, it didn't matter. Food. The new boat. The new mule. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is that the tax collector decided to tax, then he carte blanche. Just whatever he wanted to tax, he could tax. As long as Caesar got his cut. So if Caesar got his cut, then the tax collector was free to just take money. Legal extortion from his own people. And then Caesar would provide in return for the money that he got. He would provide in turn the greatest and most powerful army that history had ever known to that point. There ain't nothing you can do about it. He's taking money right out of your pocket, literally. Literally. He's reaching in your pocket right in front of him. He's not doing anything behind your back. He's literally taking your money that you've hard-earned money right out of your pocket. This is a kid that you helped raise. And he's giving it, some of it, to Caesar, keeping the rest of it for himself. He lives on the $10.5 million house on the lake. And he drives the $150,000 Land Rover. And you're just trying to get through the week. Are you feeling that anger? I am. Me too, Joe. Thank you, JoJo. Somebody's listening.
Amen.
Amen for JoJo. Somebody's listening. Joe, you feel it? I do. All right, you can feel what they're feeling. And then Jesus comes along and chooses that guy to be a part of his entourage. Man. The Pharisees want nothing to do with it. They want nothing to do with this. And so the Pharisees do what they do best. They are what Lucado calls the religious police. I call them the morality police. And they want no part of rehabilitating a worthless sinner like Matthew. There's no rehabilitating this guy. He's too far gone. But Jesus does what Jesus does best, and he explains it in these terms. He says, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. So with Jesus in charge, Matthew goes from scum of the earth to one of the most well-known Christ followers in the 2,000-year history of the church. That's a pretty good deal. Think about that. Lucado makes the point, and this is why I love this book so much, is he makes the point, he makes me realize, well, that's me. I'm Matthew. If I read the story and I look at the story and I realize what's going on in the story, then I realize I'm Matthew. He helps us to realize that we are in the story. We are the Matthews of the story, sinners in desperate need of a Savior. He then tells this story. Some time ago, I was asked to play a game of golf. The foursome included two preachers, a church leader, and a Matthew before Christ. The thought of 4 hours with three Christians, two of whom were pulpiteers, did not appeal to him at all. His best friend, a Christ follower, and his boss insisted, so he agreed. I'm happy to report that he proclaimed the experience painless. On the ninth hole, he turned to one of us and said, smiling, "I'm so glad you guys are normal. I think he meant this. I'm glad you didn't get in my face or club me with a King James driver. Thanks for laughing at my jokes and telling a few yourself. Thanks for just being normal." We didn't lower our standards, but neither did we saddle a high horse. We were nice, normal, nice. Discipleship is sometimes defined by just being normal. A woman in a small Arkansas community was a single mom with a frail baby. Her neighbor would stop by every few days and keep the child so that she could shop. After some weeks, her neighbor shared more than time. She shared her faith. And the woman did what Matthew did. She followed Christ. The friends of the young mother objected. "Do you know what those people teach?" She responded, "Here's what I know. They held my baby." Great stories. Matthew's story then is like that. It's the story of the gospel. It's the story of the good news. And it's my story. And it's your story. What Matthew found in the world was judgment, social status that led to judgment and anger and bitterness and hatred and name calling and loneliness. That's what Matthew found in the world. Oh, he brought it all on himself, but that's what he found. But in Jesus, he found love and forgiveness and hope and life and freedom and a mission. So which one do you want? Isn't it crazy that Matthew ran hard for the very thing that was going to bring him judgment and anger and hatred and bitterness and loneliness? Isn't that crazy? Now, isn't it also crazy that you and I will run as hard as we can to find the very thing that's going to bring us judgment and anger and bitterness when Jesus offers us love and forgiveness and hope and a future and freedom? You know how things go in threes at your house? When one thing tears up, something else tears up, then something else tears up. So Janice and I have been kind of going through that here with, a pump, a hot water heater, and then something else that we were doing this week. We had a plumber in our house, and he was there all day on Thursday, and he was doing some things. And so when I got there after lunch, he was only 28 years old, and I say only 28 because that's real young to me. But he was only 28 years old. And the reason I knew that he was 28 years old is because his name for me was Dude. So, dude, I came home for lunch, or after lunch, and I walked up the stairs, and he said, "Dude." You know, every now and then, I got things that are, some of my equipment is on rollers, so I can't roll them down the stairs. So I have to roll out the front and roll it around down to the van. Most everything else, he would just come in and out downstairs and walk upstairs. But he said, every now and then I have to go outside, go to the front door. And he said, "Dude, I opened the door and I came back in to get my stuff, and that little dog of yours just shot out the door." And I was thinking, oh no, I've let the dog out. Oh, I know better than to ever let the dog out when I'm at somebody's house. But I've let the dog out, and I said, "Oh, it's no big deal, no big deal. When I'm home, I just keep the door open. She just comes and goes as she pleases. She just hangs out, comes back in, hangs out, and comes back in." He said, "Oh man, I'm so thankful." He said, "But she took off, and I mean, she hit she hit that sidewalk, and then she ran straight across the street. Oh no, she's gonna get run over." And I said, and I knew exactly where she was headed to. She was headed right over there to that tree because she thought she was going to catch that squirrel, didn't she? And she said, "Yes." He said, "Yes, that's exactly what she was doing. She was chasing the squirrel." I said, "That dog is 6 years old, and every single day of her life, every day, she chases those squirrels every day. Now, in 6 years, she's never caught one, but it does not deter her effort. Every day she chases those squirrels and she never catches them." And I looked at this 28-year-old, and he knew that I was a preacher. He had heard through the grapevine that you're going to a preacher's house today. Oh no, this is going to be awful. So he knew I was a preacher, and I said to him, I said, "You see that dog chasing out those squirrels?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "That's like me and you chasing after the things of this world. Even if we catch it, we don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to treat it." But when I look at my little dog chasing that squirrel, and I think, well, that's just senseless. Don't you think the Lord looks at us and goes, well, now that's just senseless. Matthew found exactly what he wanted in the world. Loneliness, bitterness, anger. People hated his guts. They wanted him dead. Judgment and anger and bitterness. But Jesus came along and offered him the exact opposite. Love and forgiveness and hope and life and freedom. Which one do you want today? Oh, and by the way, just in case you want to know, Matthew is what prayer in the Word looks like. That's what it looks like. Father, thank you so much for that great story, Matthew, for what he represents. Terrible scum of the earth. Man, he was as bad as they could find. Turned into one of the greatest followers of Jesus Christ in the history of the 2,000-year church. That's what you do. You change lives. Thank you, Father, for a great picture of the gospel today as seen in Matthew. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation is when we walk with the Lord, if you've never trusted Christ today, we encourage you to put your trust and your faith in Him. Trust Jesus. If you need to come join our church, join our fellowship here at First Baptist Church, or whatever the Lord's leading you to do, do that now as we stand and as we sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Please be seated real quickly before we head out for our afternoon. All right, so we have new members this morning in our early worship, Cody and Macy Detweiler. They've been a part of our church now for a while and come today joining First Baptist Church. They know Christ as Savior and Lord and followed in believer's baptism and coming to be a part of First Baptist Church. Cody is another one of these professional fishing anglers. And so they're from Central Florida, just like the Lanes. They're from the Orlando area. Moved up here because of Lake Gunnersville, found First Baptist Church, and now are really getting involved and a part of First Baptist Church. So the next time that you see Cody and Macy, make sure you say a kind word of encouragement to them, all right? Last Sunday, you know, baptized Ellie and Natalie Brown. Next time you see those two young girls, say an encouraging word to them. Yesterday, we filled out our bags for our nursing home. Thank you, First Baptist Church, for bringing all of those items and stacking them in the fellowship hall. Then yesterday, we sent all of those bags out, and Paul took a picture of all of us that were here to do that, and then we took it. Of course, I can't get the number in my head. In the early worship, I screamed out like I always do, "Paul, how many did we have?" And Paul said for the 30th time to me, 173. So this just a few minutes ago, I walked in the sanctuary and
he didn't say for the 30th time either.
No, he didn't. I said that part. So I think we had 173 baskets. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate your help on that. Oh, I came in here by myself, and I'm just standing up here. Nobody's in here, just me. It's Sunday school time, and I looked down and said, I just started giggling, going, he just can't help himself, can he? All right, so we had 173 bags to the two nursing homes. It was fabulous. Thank you all who put that together, and then for those that came yesterday to help us. Anything else up there? Yeah. Valentine luncheon this Tuesday, 11 a.m. Gunner's Landing. Those of you senior adults have signed up for that. And then the next event is the American Village and Festival of Tulips, March the 2nd, 9 8. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. That's the new sign-up sheet. So start signing up for that. Then the app, Church by Ministry One Go, your app store. Pick First Baptist Church, Gunnersville. And then you can sign up and make your account. But you have to make sure that you have an email with First Baptist Church connected to that, or you won't be able to set up your account. All right, Ken? All right, let's stand and close by singing Great is the Lord.
Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice. Now lift up your voice. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great are you, Lord, and worthy of glory. Great are you, Lord.